I'd like to share something with you for a little bit this afternoon. We talked about hope this morning. And you know, I love it whenever a hope that I have, maybe for better health, maybe for the Lord answering some prayer for me. And when this gets realized that we can come, we say, does anyone have Thanksgiving at prayer request time? You know, I really love it to be able to have a prayer answered this past week that I'm feeling better. Someone else has something that the Lord has helped them with. A hope has been realized. But I want this afternoon to look at something a little bit different. What about when our hope has not been realized? What do we do? I want to look at a verse over in Proverbs 13 and 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. Think about that verse in the 12th verse. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. So whenever I had a hope for something, a desire that I wanted in my life, and it's not being realized, what do I do? What happens then? So I want to look at that for a little bit, because two words came to me as I was looking at this. I love to be able to have the message we had this morning of hope, and a hope that I had realized it comes to pass. That's wonderful. What about a desire that I have for the Lord to do something for me and it hasn't happened yet? Or maybe it does not happen in the way that I want. I want to share these two words with you. And what I'd like for it to do is to, not just for this service, but that we take it home with us and we think about it. Because it's going to be something that I have to do. I have to make a choice. Yes. Whenever I have this desire that I want the Lord to do something for me, and it is not happening yet. You take all those that we have that we're praying for. I think about Brother Curtis. You know what? He has a hope of being healed of his back trouble. This happened to him last June, and that's been a lot of months ago. And yet he still has this hope that the Lord would heal him. Okay, but as it does not happen, hope deferred makes the heart sick. What am I going to do? These two words came to me. Committed himself. Yes. Because Jesus tells us in John 14 and 27, my peace I give to you. Not like the world gives you. This peace that the Lord will give us is totally different than the world will give. For my hope, desire I have for something to be done, it's got to be realized. The peace that the world gives you is your troubles just went away. Jesus has a peace that we can have us, and the trouble just keeps on continuing. So I want to go to the verse where this is talking about. In 1 Peter 2 and 23. You know, the troubles that Jesus had come into his life and his reactions to them are a lesson for us. Let's back on up to the 21st. For even here in 2 were you called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. This little piece right here is what stuck in my mind. In fact, those two words I'd been asking the Lord, you know, if we're not going to the singing tonight, this afternoon, I need something. And I woke up with just two words coming to my mind. Committed himself. You know, when we have hope and it's realized, that's a wonderful thing. When we have a hope and it doesn't work out like we had wanted, I've got a choice that I got to make. And so I want to look at that for just a little bit this afternoon. Jesus committed himself to him that judges righteously. For me to be able to, when troubles come into my life and my hope is not realized, it's hope deferred, it can make the heart sick. But when I have my trust and my confidence in God, I can commit myself to him that judges righteously. So I want to think of a few examples today. Job was a perfect example to me about committing himself to God. You know what? If the Lord would have asked him, remember when the Lord asked Solomon, "You tell me whatever you want and I'll give it to you." Here, Job had all the material things that he could need, greatest man of the East. And now the Lord starts taking those things away from him. But I believe Job committed himself to God. Just, Lord, I got hopes. I had hopes and dreams for my family, for my children, grandchildren out in the future. And here these things have all come crashing down. But I believe he committed himself. What did he say? The Lord gave, the Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And there were some things that Job said that I'd like for us, a couple places. Maybe if someone would get Job 23 and 10. Okay, Job 23 and 10, and Job 13 and 15. Job 13 and 15.
So 13 and 15.
Okay. Let's go. So Job's got some decisions that he's got to make in his life whenever things are happening. So let's go to Job 23 and 10.
But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold.
Okay. So he has trouble come into his life. And we're back up to the 8th verse. I go forward, he's not there. Backward, I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, the places where I used to feel him working, I don't feel him right now. And cannot perceive him. Left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But then this verse, he committed himself. He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I'm going to come forth as gold. So not knowing the way, not knowing what the Lord has in mind, but just committing himself to the Lord. Can you think of let's go ahead and do Job 13 and 15 before we go to someone else.
13 and 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him.
Now that's committing himself to the Lord. Though he slay me, if he allows me to die with this affliction, I'm going to maintain my ways. I'm going to keep on trusting him anyhow. So when we're looking at hope this morning, hope realized is a wonderful thing. But when I have a hope and that thing does not come to pass, or it delays itself in coming to pass, what is my reaction? And I look at this, and I would like in my own life to be able to commit myself to him that judges righteously. Just, Lord, okay, you know the way that I take. And when you've tried me, I'll come forth as gold. Lord, though you slay me, I'm going to still trust you. So I thought of, can you think of another person in the Bible that because of the things that happened to him and he remained faithful, we could say he fits that category of committing himself to the Lord. Can you think of, what would you think of?
Joseph.
Joseph was a wonderful example of that. That's one of them that I've been thinking about. With Joseph, you never see him telling God, you know, Job came to a place, I don't know how long Job was in his affliction, but it was long enough that something started eating on Job to where he would like to have an audience with God. He would like to talk to him and find out why all these things are happening. I never see that with Joseph. Joseph takes living one day at a time. I was down in a pit. I was sold into slavery. I was bought by Potiphar. I was lied about by his wife. I'm now in prison. I now help these two men with the dreams. I'm waiting for deliverance, and 2 years passes by, and I'm still in prison. All those things were things that could have worked on his mind to where he would not have committed himself to God. He could, was it say, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That could have happened to Joseph at any place in this timeline. And what was it? I believe it was 13 years that Joseph had from the time he was sold until he came to the position that he had. And in all those places, I believe Joseph learned how to commit himself to God. Just, okay, God, here's where I am today. He probably had hopes. Well, he had those dreams that showed he was going to be somebody. He had to commit that to God. I don't even know what those dreams mean now because I'm in prison here. He committed all that to God and was still faithful. So Joseph is a good example. I thought about Abraham. What does it say about him over in Hebrews? When we're looking at committing ourselves to God, in Hebrews 11 and 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. You know, we always would like to have, would you give me step-by-step instructions? In fact, I kind of like, even with my Google Maps, I don't really want you to just tell me, okay, go 1 mile and then turn right. I would like to have some further instructions to be, after you do that, you'll go 12 miles. I'd like to know all that ahead of time before I just follow it that close. We'd kind of like for the Lord to do that with us in our life every day. Is, Lord, show me what you're going to do for 2026 from the beginning to the ending. Put it all together. And God sometimes wants us to be like with Abraham. Lord, I'm willing to, what does it say? He went out, not knowing where he was going. So what that meant was he trusted God to the point that God said, okay, just start going this way. And he walks. Maybe he went day by day by day, however long, before God instructs him, okay, now turn and start going this way. We heard this morning about, in Sunday school, about following the Lord's voice. That is walking close to God, that you can start out not knowing where you're going, but willing to listen to the voice of the Lord telling you step by step. You know, also when we're talking about knowing the voice of the Lord, Abraham got to learning it so close that when he heard this voice one day after he had heard a voice saying, you're going to have a son and he's going to make a great nation. And then the son grows up, looks like everything is going well, and he hears this voice one night. Take your son and sacrifice him. You know, you've got to know the Lord's voice real, real clear to not say, that's the voice of Satan right there. I discard that. I rebuke you, Satan, for coming to me. I already have this instruction from the Lord. But he knew the Lord's voice so clearly that he could follow it step by step. And this is the same place where he, same person that could take God just saying, okay, I want you to start walking. I'm going to take you to a place that you don't know about. And he could follow it step by step. What about us for 2026? When I don't know what's going to happen in May or in June, but I can commit myself. I've got some hopes. Got some dreams of what I'd like to have changes maybe made in my life. Maybe got some discouraging things right now, but got hopes for better things. But you know, we can commit ourselves into the Lord's hands. Another one that I thought about was Daniel. He could take whatever's happening today, and he had some dreams. He was a young man. He was a bright enough person that they were looking for some good people to come into the kingdom to be able to be a help as a servant also, but brought him in and he committed himself into God's hands. Just as far as I know, he died in slavery. He never got out to be a free person, but he committed himself into God's hands from day by day. And we just see little glimpses of a special time. We heard this morning about him being called for Nebuchadnezzar, for Belshazzar. You know, there's a lot of years in between those times of him just living to where he was still in contact with God. He committed himself to God. Another one was the three Hebrews. For them to have themselves, when they hear this, you got to fall down and worship this idol. Or here's the fire already going. And we're going to heat it up 7 times just in case. And for them to just have a clear determination, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to commit myself to Him. They didn't say, I will not burn. They say, He's about to deliver us out of your hands. The burning may be what delivers us. That's an amazing consecration to the Lord. So these two words, what they really mean is me coming to the place where I can consecrate myself to God's will. And sometimes that's a hard thing to do. I was looking at some verses of a song. We have several of them in our songbook. One of them, number 243. Don't want to sing them this afternoon, but I'd like to just look at some of these. This is some songs. I wonder what the songwriter in some of these, what was going through their mind, what trial they were going through. It says, I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. But this chorus is what I want to look at. Where He leads me, I will follow. He committed Himself. And in 2026, may we each one, when we're not able to see the future, or it doesn't seem to be going the direction we want it to go, that we're able to commit ourselves. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him. I'll go with Him all the way. And 242, in the third verse, O thou who died on Calvary to save my soul and make me free, I'll consecrate my life to thee, my Savior and my God. I'll live for Him who died for me. You know, this isn't about, okay, Lord, if you will fulfill my hopes and my dreams and give them to me the way I want, I'll live for you. I'll live for Him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for Him who died for me, my Savior and my God. And then 245, verse 1. Since Jesus gave His life for me, should I not give Him mine? I'm consecrated, Lord, to Thee. I shall be wholly Thine. My life, O Lord, I give to Thee, my talents, time, and all. I'll serve Thee, Lord, Thine own to be. I'll hear Thy faintest call. And then one other one, song number 55. A little piece of it says, Forever I choose the good will of my God. Choices that we're making every day. Hopes that we have, dreams that we have of what we want our tomorrows to be. But when they don't get fulfilled the way we wanted them to, that I'm able to commit myself to God. There's another person that I want to take a look at. In Acts, the 20th chapter, Acts 20 and 24, Paul has been through a lot of troubles, but he has himself committed to God. And you know, he probably had some hopes. What did he say? My greatest desire is that Israel would be saved. Went through all these difficulties that I've gone through with a desire that Israel be saved. But almost like Jesus, look at the troubles that have come into his life. In the 22nd verse, And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. None of these things move me. So I'm thinking about for us today in 2026, our hopes and our desires for this year, those things that get fulfilled and we raise our hand, thank you, Lord, for answering prayer for me in the way I wanted. But those that don't, that I would put it over here in this category, I still committed myself to God. And Paul was able to do that. And we see it. You know, he had some desires. He had some hopes. We get to read about that in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 12 and 7. He had a thorn in the flesh, had some kind of trouble. He does not even tell us what it was. But it's something that he would have a hope that it would go away one day. And he said, for this, eighth verse, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, I'm going to give you your hope's desire. Nope. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. And then Paul says, most gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So I look at these things. He committed himself into God's hands, whether that trouble ever was cleared up for him or not. There is a song that we sing, teach me to be patient. Lord, teach me to wait. The answer may not come today. Just work your will in me. Your glory, let me see. In your own time, Lord, in your own way. And I want us to think for just a few minutes. I have been reading, I don't know if you've read it lately, but I want to encourage everybody to pull the book out and read it again. Hinds Feet on High Places. I don't know if y'all remember the time when Sister Maxine had us all buy that book, the children's book. And we all sat here on maybe Wednesday nights or Sunday nights or sometime, and we went through that book. I have started reading it to Heather's children. And really, that thing is for us as adults. It's talking about consecration. It's talking about, I used to think the book meant the high places were going to be heaven. No, the high place is not about heaven. High place is about me living here with victory in my life, not plagued by the fears, the things my hopes have been shattered. My hopes are not fulfilled like I had wanted. I've got fears. That's what it was this little girl that was crippled, and she wanted to be able to go to the high places and the things that she had to consecrate in her life. For us today, I love it when we can say, you know what, I had a hope and the Lord fulfilled it in my life. He gave me what I needed, whether it's temporal, whether it's spiritual. Paul had a hope of being delivered from the trouble that he was in his health. But when it wasn't, what did he do? You know, he could have turned and he'd walk away from God. This little girl in this story could have at any time turned and went back to where she came from and say, it's not worth it. But she continued on through these hard places in her life until she had the victory that she needed. For us today, I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to have it in my life. I love the times where I can say, you know what, I had a hope and it was fulfilled the way I wanted it. That's good times. But you know what, there's some times that the Lord says, you know what, for your own good. There was some reason that he didn't do it for Paul. Let him go ahead and carry this trouble on. He had a hope that was never fulfilled in that way. But what did he do? He committed himself to God and went right on serving the Lord. So I want us to close with looking at a song. Because in that story of Hinds Feet on High Places, she expected to go to the mountains. It's going to be a great place to be. But instead, she had two helpers that was going to take her. It was sorrow and suffering. He said, that's going to be your best ones to be able to help you get there. And they turned and took her toward the desert. And she called on the shepherd, said, they're taking me the wrong direction. He said, no, to get to the high places, you've got to go down into the desert. And she had to consecrate to that. You know, this is more than just a story for us in 2026. When my hopes and my dreams don't seem to be going the way I had wanted, that I be able to commit myself to the Lord and still have victory in my life. So I'd like for us to close with a song in number 110. To be able to, from my heart, not just from my head, to be able to sing this, but from my heart to be able to say, God's way is best. If human wisdom a fairer way may seem to show, it's only that our earth-dimmed vision the truth can never clearly know. He leadeth true, I will not question. You know, this is what Paul did when he had prayed three times for this thorn to be removed, and the Lord didn't do it. He no longer questioned about it. We don't find him anymore saying, I've prayed now for the sixth time for this thorn to be removed. No, he laid that aside then, and he had victory in his life. He leadeth true, I will not question, though through the valley I shall go. though I should pass through clouds of trial and drink the cup of human woe. So all these things it keeps on telling us, God's way is best. Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. Forsake thy fears and doubts, but trusting, submit thyself into his hand. This is all instruction for me. But you know what? I get to choose whether I take it or whether I don't in my life. Whether I commit myself to God or whether I don't is a choice that I have to make. And that choice is made in this fifth verse of this song. Thy way is best, so lead me onward. My all I'm going to give to thy control. Thy loving hand will truly guide me, and safe to glory bring my soul. So whether my hopes, the things that I would like to have happen in my life, whether they happen or not, I'm going to have two categories. I'm happy about the ones that happen the way I want them to. I've got some that I still don't understand why they went the way they did. But I commit myself to God, and it does not hinder my walk with him. Thy way is best, so lead me onward. And then it says, God's way is best, I will not murmur, although the end I may not see. Wherever he leads, I'm going to meekly follow, because God's way is best. It's best for me. May we each one be able to take these two messages today, put them in our life. The hopes that we have, I am thankful for hope. But when my hope is not realized, hope deferred can make the heart sick. But what it can also do is bring me to a place where I commit myself to God, whether he answers it. That's the way Job did when his wife told him, are you going to still retain your integrity now your health is gone? She suffered because of the temporal blessings that he had lost also. Now she's at the place where his health is gone. It's like a disgrace to him. And she's saying, you retain your integrity, curse God and die. And he said, you're speaking like a foolish woman. How could he say that? Because he had committed himself to him that judged righteously. May we each one be able to do that in our lives.